Last week, if you were with us, you would have heard Tom speak, and he gave an excellent reminder to us of what the church really is. Not a place, remember, but a people. The church is a people who are following Jesus together and together making known the love of God through Jesus Christ to the world around us. And I really believe that we as Christian Assembly, we are a church like that, and we strive to be. And what I want to talk with you about this morning is really a continuation of that idea of how to be that kind of church and that kind of people. When Jesus sent his disciples out and the church began, he didn't say to them, go do the best you can with what you've got. But he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you. And the disciples went and the church grew with the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives and in their community. And that's what I want to look at with you today. We're continuing in this series of the book called The Story. And The Story is really a book that condenses the Bible down into broad kind of sweeps of themes of who God is and how we live our lives with God. And that's what we have been learning together. We're almost to the end of this series, believe it or not. And I'm excited about what we're doing next. In a few weeks, we're going to start a series called Teach Us to Pray. That's really going to help us grow in greater confidence in our prayers. But this week, we come to chapter 29 in the story. It's called Paul's Mission, and this chapter condenses a large amount of the New Testament into one chapter. So let me give you an idea of what I want us to focus on today. Have you ever been on a road trip before? I really enjoy a good road trip. There's something about a road trip that as I drive out of the city, the further I get, like with every mile, it feels like the stress just sort of melts away and gets left behind as I drive further and further out of the city, and it feels so good. Of course, I know that road trips are not always smooth sailing either, and I've faced my fair share of obstacles on some of those trips. And I think that's why the concept of travel, the concept of a journey, is so often used as an analogy for life. Because you and I may not be on an endless road trip, but you and I are all on a journey. And your journey may involve some obstacles and some stress, and sometimes some stress relieved. And sometimes it may feel like we've reached some destination points along the way, but none of us have reached our ultimate destinations. We are all still moving. We are all still living, still journeying. And we don't know what tomorrow will hold, but we're moving towards tomorrow. And as we've been reading through the story, we've seen in the Bible that God's desire from the very beginning of creation, when he got everything moving in motion, God's desire was to be in relationship with us along the way. His desire was that you and I would know him and trust him and to do life with him, do this journey with him. In fact, Jesus comes along and he shows us this in even a more clear and tangible way. Jesus literally travels throughout Israel and he invites others to come and travel with him, follow him, journey with him. And then when Jesus rises from the dead and he returns to the Father, he tells his disciples something before he does that. He says, I'm sending you out. You're going to continue to go. You're going to continue to travel. You're going to continue to move. And I am sending for you the Holy Spirit. And he calls it a very funny name. From the Greek, we get this word paraclete. I'm sending the Paraclete, which literally means the one who walks beside you. As you journey, as you go, as you move, the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. So God is inviting us to journey through life with Him, and if we will trust Him, He will fill our lives with the Holy Spirit along the way. So what does that look like? What does it look like to be a church, to be a people who are moving in this journey with God, filled with the Holy Spirit? That's what we see with Paul over and over again in chapter 29. And all those that Paul encounters, those who come to faith, are filled with the Spirit. So I want to pray for us before we go any further, that you and I would be open to hearing from God this morning through His Word, and that we would be open to receiving more of His Spirit in our lives. Would you let me pray for us? Well, Lord, I thank You that both on the south side and here on the north side, that some of us have already been aware this morning of the sweetness and the nearness of Your presence. I thank You, Lord, for a place where we can come and worship and encounter You. And my prayer this morning is that on both sides of the street, that every one of us would encounter Your presence, and that we would know that You are the living God, and that You have life for all of us to experience. Would You draw us nearer to You? Would You help us to walk with You? Would You help us to live with faith? And would You fill us with Your Spirit along the way? I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So in chapter 29 in our book, we're told the story of one of the greatest road trips, really, in human history. And it's the story of the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys. Paul gets sent out from his church to spread the gospel, to spread the message of Jesus throughout the Roman Empire. And we're told that all the way through the book of Acts, and in Paul's letters, that as he journeyed, Paul was filled with the Spirit, and those who received the message of Christ were filled with the Spirit. And a life filled with the Holy Spirit is a life that is remade, disrupted, and sent on a mission. If you want to look in your bulletins, you can take some notes there if that would be helpful to you. A life filled with the Holy Spirit is a life remade, disrupted, and sent on a mission. That's what we're going to look at today. A life filled with the Holy Spirit is a life remade. And because God remakes us, don't disqualify yourself before God's finished with you. Don't disqualify yourself before God is finished with you. I recently served jury duty a few weeks ago. It was exciting. And I'd never actually served on a jury. I'd called through the automated system before, and they told me they didn't need me. I've even gotten as far as the jury selection process. And then once they find out I'm a pastor, they have all kinds of questions for me, and they dismiss me. Well, this time, for whatever reason, they kept me. And the trial lasted 10 days. It was a long trial and mostly a miserable experience, as I had to sit silently in this jury box and listen to what seemed to me to be a room full of crooks. It was fun to get to know some of the other jurors, and I got to serve as foreman of the jury, and that was kind of fun. But it was basically like being held against my will, mostly. And I realized during the jury selection process that I don't know of any other context where people are so determined to disqualify themselves. You know, all the potential jurors are gathered there, and the judge and the attorneys are asking them questions, and the people just want to get disqualified and go home. They will say almost anything to disqualify themselves. Things like, I haven't heard the case yet, but I think they're all guilty. Or people will say, that guy looks like someone who owes me money. Or I own a gun. Or whatever. In a desperate attempt to disqualify themselves from jury duty. The only other context that I can think of where we often want to disqualify ourselves like that is in response to the Bible. Especially when we read of a story like Paul and his missionary journeys. When we read these kinds of stories that we read this week, we want to throw up our hands and say, well, that's Paul, that's the Apostle Paul, that's not me, that'll never happen to me. And it's easy to disqualify ourselves from relating to a chapter like this. It's easy to look at someone like the Apostle Paul and immediately conclude that I'll never experience what he experienced. And the problem with that is that we can disqualify ourselves until we aren't expecting much of anything to happen. We can believe in God and believe in Jesus as the Son of God who gave his life for us, and believe in the resurrection, and believe that God can help us love our families and even help us love our enemy. But then we don't want to go too far as to be unreasonable. I'm not Paul. But consider that Paul was not Paul either. Actually, his name is not even Paul. When we first read about him, his name was Saul. And Saul had done nothing to set himself in a trajectory to become the man that we eventually read about. In fact, look at what he says of himself in his letter to the Corinthians. It'll be on the screens. Paul writes, I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul was a grace-made man. He didn't come out of the womb quoting scripture. He didn't grow up dreaming of being a missionary someday. And to be sent across the Roman Empire with the message of Jesus, Paul's qualifications for that were not all that convincing. Imagine interviewing Paul for this missionary role. So, Paul, I understand you were an accomplice in the murder of Stephen, one of the first deacons of the church, and you set on a journey as a mercenary for the Pharisees with the assignment to murder and imprison Christians. Is that right? Yes, yes. Yeah, that's me. Paul, have you ever traveled across the Roman Empire? No. Have you ever done any public speaking, particularly in a Greek or Roman context? No. How confident, Paul, are you in your speaking abilities? Oh, I'm not an eloquent man, if that's what you mean. No, I'm not a public speaker. I make tents. You're a tent maker. That's your job. Yes, yes, I'm a tent maker. Paul, I've got the perfect project for you. I want you to write half of the New Testament, and I want you to travel across the known world preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. I think you'd be perfect for it. You see, we disqualify ourselves before we consider what God might do with us by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I don't expect you to be just like Paul, and I don't expect me to be just like Paul, but I do expect the Spirit of God to be the Spirit of God. And if the Holy Spirit enabled Paul to live a life that he was unqualified for, then the Holy Spirit can enable me to live a life that I am unqualified for, and he can and he might want to do the same thing with you too. Don't disqualify yourself before God is finished with you. A life filled with the Holy Spirit is a life that is remade by the grace of God. Who knows what he might want to do with you? This past week, in fact, I had the privilege of sitting in my office with a young man who, as we talked, came to a point of faith and began a journey with Jesus in his life. And I shared a verse with him when we talked, and I want to remind you of this same verse. It's Ephesians 2, verse 10, and it says, "We are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus to do good works with, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In fact, on the south side and the north side, let's all read this verse together if we can. Ready? "We are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." Live like you believe that. Don't disqualify yourself before God is finished with you, because you are God's masterpiece made new in Christ Jesus. Paul wasn't Paul before he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But once he experienced the Spirit of God in his life, then he said, "By God's grace, I am what I am. By God's grace, who might you be?" A life filled with the Spirit is a life remade. And a life filled with the Holy Spirit is also a life that is disrupted. Now, that doesn't sound as good as the first point. But we cannot read the Bible and not take notice of the ways that God produces disruption in the lives of those who trust and follow him. If we are going to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to be ready for God to disrupt some things in our lives. And when God's plans disrupt your life, here's what you do. You trust and obey. We see this on Paul's journey. I told you a little about his background. Not a world traveler, not an eloquent speaker, but God's Spirit led him and equipped him to travel and speak. And Paul gives us some additional details about his background and qualifications. And he tells us, "I may not be qualified for this journey," but he gives us some qualifications that he did have for the life that he thought he was going to live. And this is what he writes in Philippians. "If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless." Those are some serious honors and accolades in a Jewish context. And Paul's letting us know, it's not like I didn't have anything going for me when God's Spirit led me on this journey. I may not have been qualified for this journey, but I had some major qualifications back home for the life that I thought I was going to live. Paul would have made an excellent leader and apostle to the Jews in Jerusalem. He knew the Old Testament scriptures through and through. In fact, in another place, he tells us that he studied under a well-known rabbi. He knew the Jewish law. He knew the Hebrew language. He was an accomplished Pharisee. He would have been well qualified to lead the believers in Jerusalem. And yet, the Holy Spirit led him to be the spokesperson for the gospel to the non-Jewish people throughout the Roman Empire, far from his Jewish home. You can only imagine then the questions that Paul would have asked. So all that Pharisaical success and all that study of the Hebrew language, was that a waste of my time? Will my accolades and accomplishments ever earn me any recognition? Everything I've worked for, who I thought I was, all seems disrupted by what the Spirit is leading me to do. Have you ever found your plans, your life, disrupted by God's plans? We see in Paul's life, and I'm certain that it's been true with some of you, that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our lives can get disrupted by God leading us to do some things that we might not want to do. And in those times, we see Paul trust and obey. When God disrupts his life, he trusts and obeys. When he disrupts your life, trust and obey. Listen to what Paul says after his life is disrupted by the Spirit. This is his response after he has accepted the invitation of the Spirit to go on this journey. He writes, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." All that he had worked for, all that he thought valuable, Paul was willing to lay down to receive the disruption of the Holy Spirit in his life. And if he had not responded by trusting and obeying, think of what he would have lost, what he would have missed. And think of what we would have missed. The words of Scripture that speak to us about God and about life with Christ. We would not have those words of Scripture had this man not been willing to be disrupted by the Spirit of God. A life filled with the Holy Spirit is a disrupted life. Is God disrupting anything in your life right now? Maybe you've come to a decision in your life that you never thought that you would have to make. Maybe you're a parent and you've got a child that is stretching your patience and challenging your character. Maybe God has given you a job that just seems inferior and wrong for you. How is God disrupting your life? I want to encourage you, trust and obey. Because a life filled with the Spirit is a disrupted life, but listen, God, our God, brings new life out of disruption. Our God brings new life out of disruption. God's Spirit might not lead you to travel far to proclaim the gospel. He might just disrupt your life in small daily opportunities so that His love and His glory might be revealed through you. I have a friend who is, she's mostly retired. She was a pastor, and she's mostly retired now. She recently went on a vacation with her husband and her kids and her grandchildren. And they all went down to the Mayan Riviera of Mexico and the Caribbean shore there. And they were relaxing on vacation. And my friend went to make a purchase in this little marketplace area, and she used her Visa card, and it was taking a long time because they were traveling internationally. It was taking a long time for them to process this Visa card. And so she was sitting and waiting while they processed her Visa. And as she was sitting and waiting, she noticed a man sitting nearby her. And this man was dressed very formally. He looked like he was dressed for some type of a special occasion. He had a flower pinned on him, and he was sitting there looking very distraught, very troubled about something. There was something clearly bothering this man, and my friend sitting there waiting for a Visa card and watching this man, and finally she can't stand it anymore, and she leans over to him and says, "Excuse me, sir, but are you okay?" Well, come to find out, he was a groom who was supposed to be getting married. And his bride was waiting for him. She was there. It was one of these destination weddings, dream weddings. And they were there, but the minister never showed up. The guy who was supposed to officiate their wedding just didn't show up. And so he's sitting there not knowing what to do, and he tells my friend this story, and she says, "Well, buddy, you're in luck, because I'm a pastor. I can marry you guys." And he's amazed, and he's shocked. He can't believe it, and he's excited, and he says, "Just a minute," let me make some phone calls, and he starts calling people to let them know. And while she's sitting there, and she's still waiting for her Visa card to process, and there are two other ladies sitting nearby, and they've overheard this, and one of them leans over to my friend and says, "Excuse me, but are you a psychic or something? How did you know that guy needed a minister?" And she said, "No, I'm just a pastor, and I was talking to him," and she starts talking to these ladies about being a pastor, and one of them says, "Well, if you're a pastor, I've got a question about God for you," and they start talking, and then one of them says, "Listen, there's another friend of ours who's with us. She's Jewish, and she's going through a real hard time in her life. Would you mind talking with her too?" And so my friend sat with these three women and told them the gospel and prayed for them. And she said, just about the time that she finished praying, just as she said the words, "In Jesus' name, amen," they heard a voice behind them that said, "Ma'am, your Visa card's ready." Well, when I'm on vacation, disruption is the last thing that I want. But sometimes in big ways, and sometimes in small ways, disruption is God's way of producing some results in us and through us that you and I just aren't capable of producing on our own. Sometimes the hard, dry ground needs to get broken up and disrupted and turned over before it becomes soil that can produce new life. I'm so thankful that my friend was willing to live a disrupted life. When God's plans disrupt your life, trust and obey, because God brings new life out of disruption, sometimes in small ways, sometimes in big ways. A life filled with the Holy Spirit is a life remade, a life disrupted, and it is a life sent on a mission, because the Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit. And so the people of God are missionary people. You may never travel across an empire like Paul did. You may never cross the globe or even the country. Your journey with God's Spirit may only take you to your workplace and home again each day. Your journey with God's Spirit may only take you around your neighborhood or across the street or maybe only across a room. But if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you are filled for a purpose. Because where the Spirit of God is, there is the kingdom of God. And there is the mission of God. The Spirit of God is a missionary spirit. And when we are filled with the Spirit, we are filled for a mission. God wants to bring about His love and power through our lives. But if you're like me, then sometimes we can have a tendency to think like this. I want Jesus in my life. I welcome the Holy Spirit, but I don't want God to call me to do something I won't want to do. We want Jesus to be our Savior who came to seek and save the lost, but we want someone else to follow the Savior's great commission to go and make disciples. That's taking things too far outside of the plans I have for me. And when we want Jesus, but we don't want Jesus' mission, then you and I can make some mistakes along the journey. And I want to just point out to you quickly four mistakes that we can make. The first is this, that we can make the mistake of thinking, well, I'm open to the Spirit filling my life and using me. If He wants to, He can. But then we just go about our regular business as usual, and nothing happens. And when nothing happens, we go back to disqualifying ourselves and saying, well, see, God just hasn't chosen to use my life. The other mistake that we can make is to go to the other extreme, so that we become so busy doing all kinds of good things, even very good things, but we never stop and ask, what is the Holy Spirit sending me to do? And that's when we can burn out and feel like I'm doing all this stuff, but is it worth it? But we never paused and asked God what He wanted from us. The third mistake we can make is to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, but never let others into the process of hearing and following the Spirit with us. And when we do that alone and things don't work out as we expected, that's when we start blaming others. They don't understand. They aren't doing enough, but you never gathered other believers to hear and respond to the Spirit together. And the fourth mistake that we can make is to think that everyone ought to have heard the same direction from the Holy Spirit, and everyone ought to be responding in the same way. And if they aren't, we can think, well, maybe they don't know Jesus, and maybe they aren't filled with the Spirit. But listen to how Paul's journey got started in Acts 13. He gives us an example of how not to live out those mistakes in Acts 13. It says, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. That's who becomes Paul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now watch what's happening here. First, Paul makes himself available to be used by God, but not just in theory, but in action. He actively seeks God's direction through prayer and fasting. Secondly, Paul's not taking the matter into his own hands and saying, well, I know kind of my strengths and skills. I'd be a great leader to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. I'm going to go there. He isn't assuming he knows what God is doing or wanting to do with his life, but he waits to hear from the Lord. Third, Paul's not praying alone. He didn't hear the Holy Spirit or respond to the Spirit alone. There were others who could say, yes, this is what the Spirit has invited you to do, and we are sending you out in response to the Spirit together. And fourth, Paul did not expect everyone who was in that prayer meeting to follow the directions from the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, well, if God's sending me, then you better pack your bags too. You might not be the one being sent, though you might be. But you also might be the one commissioning someone else who is sent. Someone else who you have prayed with and you know the invitation of the Spirit in their life. But so many of us have disqualified ourselves altogether even before we get there. And God's desire is for you and me to be in relationship with Him, to be filled with His Holy Spirit, and to live every moment in mission with Him. That's what I love about the story of my friend in Mexico, that she wasn't just vacationing, but even in vacation, she was a woman filled with the Holy Spirit on a mission to make the good news of Jesus known. That's what we see in Paul. And most of the stories that we have of Paul's journey is not what happened to him when he arrived in the places that he was going, but what happened to him along the way. What opportunities is God giving you along the way to share the love of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Because the Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit, and people filled with the Spirit are missionary people. Alex, if you would join me on the south side and Jacob on this side as we wrap up, I want you to know that as I know many of you, and we've spent time together and we've worshiped together and prayed together, I believe that we are a church, we are a people who want all that God has for us. I believe that about you. Do you recognize that God is inviting you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I want to live full of His Spirit on mission with the Savior, and I want the power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, to be alive in me and known through me. Jesus said this: "If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" And I pray that as we seek to be a church who is led by God's Spirit together, that the words of Scripture that we read this past week would be true of you. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for us in just a minute. But before we do, we're going to sing together. And as we sing, as we do every week, this is a time for all of us to respond to God's Spirit. In fact, I'm going to ask you to stand with me on both sides of the street. If you would stand up, and as we conclude our time, I want you to just make this song your prayer. And you can add your own prayer to it if you'd like. You might want to close your eyes and just put your hands out in front of you as a physical act, a symbol of saying, "God, I want all that you have for me. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I want to live a grace-made life with you on this journey." However God is leading you to respond, you do so as we sing.